You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Oh, what a journey we are taking today on Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today's show, social insecurity. What, Robbie? Social insecurity? Well, if Satan had his way, you might know he's all about getting you to worry. I mean, and Jesus, you know, clearly in the Sermon on the Mount, who could forget these lines where he said, "I say to you," and it's pretty clear. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you drink, about your body or what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? And I'm sure many of you listening know, you know, that what Jesus was getting at is faith replaces fear. And do you have faith that God's going to make things work out? Well, you know, interestingly, this week, my good friend Hans, certified financial planner, fiduciary exquisitaire, he sends me the prep for this week's show. And it's like, okay, Robbie, I want you to read this. What do you call it, Hans?
It's the Social Security Trustees Report. Annual report.
The Social Security Trustees Annual Report. And it's a little bitty document. How many pages?
280.
Now, we're talking about Robbie Dillmore here. You're going to read this report. But he was – there were two things going for him. Number one, he's never sent me anything to read that wasn't worth reading. And number two, he said, don't read the entire document. He just said, read parts of the executive summary, which fortunately, you know, wasn't all – believe me, it was very invigorating reading.
Well, tell him what you told me.
As I was reading that thing, I was blown away to find out that, simply put, Social Security did not go backwards in 2019. In fact, it went forward $3 billion. In other words, they were projecting that it was going to dip into the trust fund, which is a crazy amount of money. I can't even quote that.
One minor correction is 2018 that they're reporting on now in 2019. But go ahead.
You're right. They're looking back forward on 2018. But they added to this trust fund that supposedly was going to be coming down, but the scholarship that went into all their projections and all their work to look at saying, wow, we're not going to dip into the trust fund maybe till 2020, but that the trust fund is essentially a reserve. It's way more than what they're taking in taxes. But the net result of this was I was like, man, I'm proud to be an American. These people really... I mean, they're brilliant, and they do phenomenal amounts of homework, and they've studied this like crazy. And if you read that first page yourself, whoever, I don't think you would be one bit insecure about Social Security, you know, in the next 20 years. Because, I mean, it's clear that there are lots of ways that money comes into that. And one of the neat ways, I thought, Hans, not that I like taxes, but I think it's kind of interesting that the taxes that people pay while they continue to work and still collect Social Security, those taxes go back into Social Security to help the fund.
Well, it's just the continuing to work. If you're 80 years old and you're retired and you still have an other income besides your Social Security of 70, 80, 90 grand a year, you know, not only do you pay taxes on the other income, but that drives how much tax you pay on your Social Security. And so I look upon that as a financial planner. That's a bad thing. I mean, I want to try to reduce people's taxes. But in the scheme of things within Social Security, that money makes its way back into the trust fund. And as we were looking there, last year in 2018, that was $34.5 billion. So in taxes the federal government collected on Social Security checks, so when they collect that tax, they put that money back into the trust fund. And then they earned on the trust fund, they earned almost $81 billion of interest. So on the bonds that are there, the treasury bonds, that there's almost $3 trillion, they earned 80.7 billion dollars, and that goes back into the trust.
So you might be saying right now, Robbie, why are you telling me this? Well, here's what my thoughts a little bit, and I know Hans shares this, and plus probably a lot more because he's been studying a lot more years. But you know, the shield of faith, right? You've read the full armor in Ephesians 6, and you know, in the days when Paul was there, a shield was a huge deal. In fact, a Spartan mother would tell her kid when he went out to war, you either come back with your shield or on it. I mean, in other words, you don't lose your shield. And why is that? Why would they say that? And the reason they said that is because your shield was protection for the guy next to you. So your sword and whatever was how you, you know, took care of yourself, but your shield is how you protect the team. You know, it's a team sport, this war stuff.
Sure.
And so in your faith, your shield of social insecurity, you know, when you begin to think that, wow, we're going to run out of money and wow, there's not going to be enough this, you drop your shield of faith in God, right? He's not going to be able to take care of me. And when you do that, it causes your neighbor to drop their shield. And so people have come to you, I know they have, and said, oh, Social Security, is it right, Hans?
Oh, sure.
And it causes us to drop our shield of faith.
People tell me that on their way in as clients, as we're going to sit down and do retirement planning. We're going to figure out they're going to retire. So how much are they going to get from Social Security? How much is in their 401k or IRA? And how much can we pull out of that? How much taxes are they going to pay? And we're putting this whole plan together. And I'm relying on that Social Security. And then I'm trying to make the taxes as small as possible on that. And then I'll get a lot of folks say, well, you can't really count on that. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if I really take you seriously on that, then I'm just going to need to cross that out. And we're going to plan like that's not going to be there. People get this because it's not even so much from the news media, but somebody gets it from the news media. And it's really from their friend who's watching those news reports that heard it from someone else, and they just kind of developed this common knowledge, like this whole thing's going broke. You can't trust it. You can't rely on it. And that's why I read this report, not to come and report on it. There's plenty of people doing that. It's really so I know, is there any truth in this? Is it, you know, what these people are telling me, you know, can I look at them squarely and say, well, you know, the truth is really somewhere in the middle. I mean, some of what you're saying has some accuracy. There's some areas for concern in here. We're not trying to say this is all necessarily 100% beautiful. They wouldn't be coming out with a report, but it's
clearly, since I happen to be 63 and, you know, whatever time they thought that the trust fund might possibly, you know, that their projections would show that the trust fund would happen to where it was no, you know, that the trust
we
fund,
had no more reserve.
They have no more reserve. But the thing I just didn't understand is, wait a minute, there's no more reserve. They're still taking in all this money from payroll taxes. They're still taking in this other taxes that's happening on Social Security. And so at the point that I thought was Armageddon at 2035, which, by the way, I'll be 80. And they pushed that off, you know, what, 2 years or 1 year with this report? It was going to be
well,
in 2034.
This is implying that they do nothing.
Right.
First of all, this makes a couple of assumptions. Number one, that the government and the whole society does nothing to change this or to improve it, okay, or to improve the trust fund. That's number one, which I think they're going to do something, okay, and I don't want to get into that today. The second thing is this makes the assumption that these smart people, that all their assumptions come true. I mean, I guess you could make one case. It could be worse than this. I mean, maybe they've projected this, and it could be 2031. But it could also be 2039, or they could do something so that it just moves this date out further. And there's always some date where the trust fund's going to run out of money.
But the thing that became just clear to me is, wow, Robbie, you know, any doubt I ever had really that I, you know, would not get back more than I put into Social Security, you know, based on what I saw that they're going to do with what I've put in, I'm like, this is a miracle. I mean, this is going to pay my family even if I die. You know, this is a substantial amount of Social Security. It's exactly what it was built to be. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, that kind of security, and that along with other ways that you can plan for your future. And therein lies the opportunity, of course.
So really what we want you to get from this, and we're going to talk more about what you can do about Social Security in the second part of the show. What we want you to get from this is just that don't believe everything you hear. Don't latch on. It's easy to latch on to negative advice, you know, fear-monger stuff. And, I mean, you just listen and you just, how do they know that the government's going to run out of money or there's not going to be anything, or you kind of hear that they're spending this trust fund on other projects besides Social Security? That's just nonsense.
We are talking today, obviously, about Social Security and not social insecurity. We're hoping that by listening to the show that you can see that, A, number one, you have Social Security not because of the U.S. government, because God, obviously, and Jesus is going to provide for you. But there's also a lot of fellow Christians and other people out there working hard to keep this stuff up. And if you want to find out more about it, you go to Cardinal Guide. Don't forget the guide after the cardinal.com. You look at the 7 Worries tab. Today's on Social Security. And much of the stuff I originally learned about the security in Social Security are in your book, Hans.
Oh, yeah. And the book, you can download the chapters for free of the book and the workbook. If you send us a message on the website or send me an email, I'll be happy to send me your address. I'll send you a copy of the book, no charge. In the second part of the show, we're going to give you some of this information that's in the book, and really what will be a little more useful than some of the stuff we're talking about here in the beginning. We just wanted to kind of extinguish some...
We wanted to raise this shield of faith. It goes way beyond Social Security. God's got this. He really does got this.
Sure.
And you are way more important to him than the birds of the air and that kind of stuff. So we're hoping that we'll all raise our shield of faith as we come back. We want you to think, wow, I can't. I got to get into Walmart. I got to do whatever. Go to cardinalguide.com and you can listen to the podcast right there. Or if you've got an iPhone, you can say, Siri, play for me the last Finishing Well podcast. And it'll go right from there. Even your Alexa at home. Finishing Well is the name of the podcast with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. When we come back, so much more on social insecurity / security.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well. Today's show, with our tongue in our cheek just a little bit, social insecurity. We don't want you to have any of that, but we do want you to see that God, right, has your back, and he doesn't want you to worry. He says it very clearly. But, you know, part of that it is, you know, trying to understand, how am I going to finish well? And a big part of that in the planning for finishing well is for everybody. That's a huge amount of money of what I would look at in my planning for retirement will be my Social Security check, which, by the way, wasn't, you know, welfare in any way, shape, or form.
And did you have any idea what that was before we ran your first report?
No, I really didn't.
What it was going to be and what your decisions. And so in the second part of the show here, we just want to talk about, okay, so what do you need to concern yourself with about Social Security? And the first thing is, like, when do I start it? And you can start it as early as 62, but you don't want to start it at 62 if you're still working, because you're going to end up giving some of it back, or maybe all of it.
Yeah, you'd be part of that $34 million that's going back in. And you know what's tragic, Hans, is I meet so many of my contemporaries, you know, that are my age, people, and you know, I'll say, when are you going to take your, I started a year ago, and these people are working. And you just want to go, wow. And
they really didn't get good advice. And it was just, It was too easy. I've had more clients that I've talked out of that thing where I was lucky enough to get them in before they could take it earlier, before they took the plunge. You know, I'm going to tell you an interesting point. I have a client that did exactly that on his spouse, and then they came in to see us about 6 months into that, and I showed them through Social Security, you can pay Social Security back the money within 1 year. If you pay them back the money, you can cancel out your starting like it never started. So you can actually fix a mistake with them. But you can start it as early as 62. You really don't want to start it before your full retirement age, unless you have to. So if you're not working and you just need the money, or you did early retirement and you just want the money and you fully understand what it's costing you, or possibly if you're sick and you don't have a survivor depending upon it, and you don't have a long life expectancy, and you say, look, I want to start it, and bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. There's all kinds of reasons to start it early, okay? But what I like to do is get in to see somebody like me that, you know, can kind of just give you some feedback and make sure that you're doing the right thing. But for most of us, it's better to wait at least until our full retirement age, which for the people retiring right now, it's 66 is full retirement age. And it's growing to 67 by the time the people born in 1960 or after full retirement age is 67. So it's somewhere between 66 and 67. And at that point, if you're still working, like a lot of people are, you can go ahead and take your Social Security. You take your full Social Security amount, and you don't have to give any of it back because you're still working, okay? But if you're still working then, or if you have other resources, you may decide to wait till you're 70 to collect on it, because it'll just go up and up and up and up, and you'll get, by starting at age 70, you're going to get the largest check that you could get, and you're going to get that larger check for the rest of your life.
And beautifully, from my perspective, is that your spouse, you know, in our case, you know, my check will be significantly larger than Tammy's. And so, you know, after I'm gone, she'll go down to one check.
But she'll get your check.
But that check will be significantly larger because I waited till I was 70. And since Tammy's so much younger than me, you know, that ka-ching.
It's not, for you folks, it's not just the same for everybody. Don't be going by what your brother told you or some guy down at work. You really need to look at this for yourself, and we do that type of work where we do financial planning, retirement planning for people, and we start with Social Security. It's the first content chapter in the book, and if you want to read the book, you know, we told you earlier this chapter, and I got it open right now to page 12, and this is the first point that it makes in the summary is that the answer to the question of when do I start lies somewhere between 62 and 70, and it's different for everybody. It's also dependent upon your spouse. So we're not going to get into that today and a bunch of, but it's just, and it could even be your deceased spouse. It could be your divorced spouse. If you were married for 10 years or more and you didn't remarry before 60, you can collect benefits even if they're still living off of your divorced spouse earnings record. So, you know, they'll tell you some of that down at the Social Security office, but we, you know, we do a lot of work and we study this stuff just like the Social Security report. So we don't know everything about it, but we know a lot. So,
yeah, and it's an integral part of, you know, and you've said many times that all this stuff comes together. When you look at the seven worries tab, you know, Social Security is a big part of the building blocks, so to speak, of figuring out, you know, taxation, the big part of figuring out, you know, how you afford long-term care and
well, see, what people usually come to us about is they want to know how they can spend their retirement savings over their lifetime. And then, of course, none of us know how long we're going to live. We can, you know, maybe we can guess. But then the concern with that is, what if I outlive my money? What if I start spending it in my 60s or even my early and mid-70s? And then I spend too much, or I have market losses, or some other type of loss, and then I'm 85 and I've spent all my savings. And then I'm just having to live on Social Security alone. So there's a science to this where, so we're going to take your Social Security check. That's the base level. And so if that's all you got, you're not going to pay any income taxes. Okay. Then you can make a little bit beyond that. And you're not going to pay any income taxes on your Social Security. There's a threshold. You can make a fair amount, and then you're not going to pay much taxes on that. So somebody that has Social Security plus an income of a little bit, I'm saying like $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in addition to their Social Security, they're going to be at a very low tax or almost no tax. But then you start climbing from there in taxable income, like interest income, investment income, a pension income, you know, maybe you're doing some part-time work, and you start stacking that up, now you're going to get higher and higher tax brackets in retirement, and it's going to circle back and tax your Social Security. So, you know, when we're doing financial planning, retirement planning for folks, we start with the Social Security, and then one of our first goals is to try to pay as little tax as we can on that Social Security. And we do that by how the people distribute money to themselves. And so this is where Roth IRAs come in really nice, is that if you don't already have one, we can consider a conversion depending upon how old you are. And we can do a Roth IRA conversion, and a Roth will, money will come to you tax-free, so it won't count as taxation on your Social Security. So there's all kinds of maneuvers that we can get into in planning, but it all tracks back to Social Security.
Right. And the cool thing is that as we wait, you know, the thing keeps going up. I mean, the idea of an annuity becomes, like you say, where you don't outlive your money. That's what annuities are, and that's what Social Security is. And I never would have known that in a million years had I not had a chance to sit on this show several times to realize, wow, Social Security, this tremendous amount of money I'm going to be getting, you know, when I begin to take it, is going to be at the hands of annuity. So, wow, if there are other ideas as far as annuity investments, they seem to make a lot of sense to me because you can't outlive them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just, no matter how old you get or your spouse does, there's going to be some money coming in. Now, do you know what happens when there's two Social Security checks in a household and then one of the spouses dies? So I'm going to give you a little quiz here.
I do. You get the larger of the two.
So the survivor gets the larger of the two checks.
So, you know, again, if my wife were to die, I would still get my check as it would be the larger. If Tammy, which again, the statement, which is easy to get, I didn't know how easy to get. I really was worried about going to government websites. But anyway,
was another project I sent you.
Another project. It was actually not only easy but delightful to see, you know, what all was involved in that and how, what kind of records they'd kept over the years and exactly, you know, projected what all it would be. And there's ways to actually increase your payout later in life, aren't there, Hans?
Sure, sure. And we, so you've got two Social Security checks, husband and wife, and then one of the smaller ones going to go away when the first one dies. And that's another thing we got to look at in estate planning. So we've got to decide how long is it, like in my wife's, she's going to need some life insurance because her check's going to go away. Or if she dies, you know, first, I'm going to need some life insurance to replace her check because I'm so dependent on it. So what are the long-term care implications of Social Security? And those are, and we have that in every chapter of the book, we take a look at how does long-term care affect this area. And what it really boils down to is that's the first check or the first money we use to pay the assisted living. So that if we have to transfer an older person into an assisted living and the bill is $6,000 a month and they've got a Social Security check of $2,000, that's the first money. I mean, we got $2,000 of it. We just got to take their Social Security check and send it there. Okay. That's kind of concerning, but especially if there's survivors depending upon that check. But I mean, that's generally what happens. And then we got to come up with the other $4,000 out of savings every month. So You know, and I just the point I make here in the, on page 12 in the book is that don't rely on the Social Security office to make an appointment down there and go down there and ask that person all the questions. You're going to get correct information from them, but it's not, you know, based upon your interests, okay? I mean, go ahead and do that, but, you know, I'm just suggesting that a person, if they haven't made these elections yet, that they consult somebody with, like me, that is a financial planner that could really give them some advice in light of everything else that they have.
Yeah, there's a lot involved. So for more information, of course, you can go to Cardinal Guide. Don't forget the guide, aftercardinal.com. Or, you know, go to their website, cardinalguide.com, and download the book at the Seven Worries tab, or just email Hans to get the book. Of course, more information on lots and lots of podcasts on this radio show. Like, we've done maybe 10 shows on Social Security, so lots of information available. And, you know, we're praying that through your understanding of this, that you'll have more security. You'll be able to raise your shield of faith, and the next time somebody comes to you and says, hey, that thing's running out of money, we've got to, you know, say, wait a minute. Have you read the annual report?
That's good.
That'll flip their switch. Thank you for listening to Finishing Well.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.